of people are going to parties and doing all kinds of things. They think they're going to be happy. And they say they do it to celebrate Christmas or celebrate an event, but it wouldn't matter if today was or Monday was Christmas or not. It's Friday, so let's go party. Let's go have a good time. And I thought about gifts, and probably most of us have thought about 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. It would be impossible to talk about all the gifts and all the things that God has done and gives us. So I'm going to look at just a couple of things. But first, I wanted to start with, in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you want to follow along, the 7th chapter in the 6th verse, have an interesting verse, I think. It says, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity." You ever been around some crackling branches, thin branches? How they just spring up to just catch fire for a second, then they're gone. That's what this time of year kind of reminds me of. People are always trying to find joy, and they find it in a bottle or smoke in a joint or whatever. But it's just for a moment, and then it's gone. Just like a fire under those twigs under a pot or in a pot. I would call it something Brother Hill once called that, a fool's laughter, a good time. The thing about that is that you never get to where you think you want to go to. You never get the full joy that you think that you want. You have to have more, another drink, another drag, just more. You never get satisfied. And then there's the inevitable the next day when you wake up and you have all that feeling left. Your body feels terrible. Your mind is foggy. None of the joy that you thought you were going to get is there. It wasn't there to begin with. So there's always the next day. And you know what a lot of people say? I'll never do that again. Never. But you know what? The next opportunity, there they are again. Some of you remember those days. I remember those days too. I'll never do that again. And then the next opportunity, doing it again. And then there's the next day again when you feel horrible. So I wanted to look at that. So I wanted to look at 1 Timothy first. Read a little something. The first chapter, verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, if anyone's been in that situation I was just describing, haven't you felt like you were the worst sinner that there ever was? I have never felt so bad in my life. I'll never do this again. Worst sinner that ever has ever been. But then that takes me to what I would call the first gift. And I would find that in Titus. And it says this in the 3rd chapter of Titus. Verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." And all that searching and all that drinking and all that whatever you were doing to make yourself feel better, it wasn't until the goodness and the kindness of God appeared that you actually started to feel better. I would call that the first gift. And not only that, there are different gifts that we get. If I go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and starting with the 4th verse, It says this: "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another." We're all different, and we all have received gifts that we need, that this body needs. And they're all different. And maybe you've heard some people say, "I have. Well, I could do that better. Brother Webb is up there. Webb is up there. I could do that much better than him. The pastor. Pastor Jesse? I can preach better than that. I can do so much better than that." But you know what? We are members of Jesus' body, and you are where you're supposed to be. I thought about how we have such a fine building, a beautiful building. Do we ever stop to say thank you to Steve or Angie or Alex, Kevin, the ones who keep this building looking like it's looking? That's a gift. They keep this building looking wonderful. Do we ever say thank you for that? How about those who bring the word? And I'm not speaking about myself. Do you say thank you? I appreciate that. It's not easy. I thought about this, bringing this message tonight, and for me, I don't know about anyone else that gets up here. The hardest part for me is just getting started. How are you going to get started? What am I going to say? But God knows about that too. He's in full control of everything, all of it, from me standing up here to you sitting out there. He is always in full control. All I'm saying is that everyone has a place, and that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And since seeing how that we're all members of the body, and sometimes we may criticize another member of the body, let me ask you, what part of your body can you do without? They're all important. Every portion of your body is important. None is any more important or less valuable than another. And he placed you in his body exactly where he wanted you to be. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So it doesn't matter where he's placed you in the body. The Holy Spirit has got control of that. He is the one using you for what he has for you, for what he has for us. You're right where you're supposed to be for what we need in the body. And I go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, for some more of that. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." He's speaking of you in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6 through 6. Matter of fact, I just read this. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." The thing I'm trying to get across is that we're all different. We all have a place in the body of Christ, and none is more important than the other. And all are ran or controlled or brought forth by the blessed Holy Spirit. Everyone in this building right now, you have a gift, and you're important because you're a part of the body of Christ. And he's using you for whatever he wants to use you for. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 13. I'll start with verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Praise of his glory. It's an earnest. The Holy Spirit is an earnest. If that's an earnest, which is kind of like a down payment that you may put down on a house that you want to buy, wouldn't you want the rest of it too? Of course you would. Why else would you take the earnest? You want it all. So I hope you do. So don't you want that? And really, Jesus only asked us to do one thing. And you can read that in John, Gospel of John, 13th chapter. This is all he really asked us to do. Didn't say that we had to be anything, look like anybody, or dress like anything, carry ourselves any kind of way. He said this in the 13th chapter of John, in the 34th verse, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's all he asked us to do, to love one another. Didn't say do a lot of work or just make it to church on time or anything. He just asked us to love one another, that's all. And if you look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 4, he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then he goes on and lists some of the different gifts. So, because we are members, and that's what I'm trying to really emphasize, that we are really members one of another. But we are all different and have different gifts according to what is needed in the body. So I put together a quick list of different gifts. Gifts of such as administration, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, serving, speaking in tongues for the benefit of the meeting, interpretation of tongues, teaching, wisdom. Now, you're probably in there somewhere, and I'm just not trying to limit God. Maybe I didn't mention it, but you're probably in there somewhere. How about the eternal life and the Holy Spirit? These are gifts as well. And when these are all put to good use, it leads to a desire for strong meat. And you can read about that in Hebrews 5:14. It also leads to a discernment of good and evil. Because as you exercise these different gifts, your senses become trained by reason of use. Now, of course, the greatest gift I ever received was the gospel, although I didn't realize it at the time. The way I received it, I was drafted and the Vietnam War was going on, and my mother took me down to this church, and she went in to talk to the pastor and said, just wait out here in the midst. And there were two ladies that were cleaning the church, and one of them stopped and looked at me and she said, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. And that was the moment. After that, I didn't realize, but everything had changed. Now, I didn't go into the Army. I went into the Navy. And I've told you before about bilges. That's the part of the ship. It's kind of like the street of the ships. That's where all the trash gets into. And you have to clean those. Otherwise, the ship gets kind of messy. But so I was cleaning them because when you first get on board, you have to do certain jobs just to keep you busy, I believe. But I was cleaning bilges. And every now and then, I would come across a tract having to do with Jesus. So God was already dealing with me. I didn't know what was going on. But I had accepted him. And he had already started to speak to my heart. So then there is Jesus' gift to himself. Do you know what that is? It's us. That's his gift to himself. You know, he tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his masterpiece. Velma and Cass recently took a trip across the seas, and they had a chance to see a lot of wonderful masterpieces, and they sent us pictures. I don't know if you got some of them, but they sent pictures back. I mean, there were some beautiful things. And I was looking at them, and I was thinking, as beautiful as they are, you know where the most beautiful masterpieces are? Well, some of them are sitting right here. Beautiful masterpieces. Beautiful. You know, there was a time, if you read the book of Hosea, there was a man who had a wife who broke his heart. And after a while, he took her back. But you know what? She broke it again. He took her back. And she broke it again. And yes, he took her back and she broke it again. And he will receive her again. Made me think of the Church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. I mean, they were a perfect church. But the Lord had one thing against them. They had left their first love. I don't know what it was that distracted them or got them off the course. Does it really matter what it was? They had left their first love. Why? I don't know. So truly, I would ask you, what is your relationship with Jesus? We all know the right things to say. We can all quote the right scriptures. But when we're alone or even sitting here tonight, we have a relationship with the Lord. Don't you want him to be first?
Amen.
He wants you to be first. He wants to be your first love, your superior love. So let me ask you this. Everyone's going to be, not everyone, but some are going to be giving gifts this year. Why not give the gospel one more time to that family member, neighbor, workmate, friend, enemy, who has rebuffed you before? There is something I want to read to you. You find it in Proverbs, the first chapter. Starting in verse 24, it says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Is there anyone that you'd have this said about that you know? I can't imagine anybody that you'd want to see in that situation. To be on the wrong side of God? No, you don't. And besides that, what if God didn't have mercy on you? You see, crisis time comes to everyone at some time. And Matthew 18 has a thought on that. Starting in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto you, unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So no matter how many times you have tried to witness to someone or found yourself in a situation where you had an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, and they didn't want it. How many times? And yet, you never know when the right time is going to be. Wouldn't that be a wonderful gift to give to someone this holiday season? A salvation message? And this may be the time that they take Christ as their Savior. That would be the best gift that you can give them at all. For that matter, give yourself a gift. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. As far as a gift is concerned, and you want a gift, I'll give you a gift. Take the cup of salvation and drink some more. What does that mean to you? Drink. Remember we talked earlier about when you, back in the day, I don't know if you did, but I did. You'd go out just because it's Friday or just because it's Christmas. We're going to party. And then there was always the next day. That doesn't happen with the things of God. You rejoice more and more. And you don't do that just because someone's up here telling you about it. You do that because you believe in your heart that Jesus is all that he said he was going to be. The only next day that you're having or will have is when you're looking up and all of a sudden you're up there with him. But because he's called you home. So I invite you to find out for yourself. That's something I've told all my children. There's just three. I don't know why I said all, but my three children, ask them. I have told them to find out for yourself. It doesn't do any good to just have someone preach to you. Look into it yourself. The Word of God. Find out for yourself. If this is true, take the cup of salvation and drink some more. And drink some more. And drink some more. You'll never get to the bottom of that cup. There used to be a saying back when I was growing up, some advertiser had a saying, was go for the gusto. I don't know if you remember that or not. Well, if there was ever a time to go for the gusto, to run like you've never ran before, now is the time. Amen. Run. Let's run. Put everything into it. Let's run for the gusto. Go for the gusto. Let's run to win. So he's coming for a bride. Jesus is coming for a bride. Now, is that you? When I read in my Bible, I never read in there except for, which gives us promises. I never read except for me or except for you. So all these promises are for you. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's intended for you. You can have it. You'd have to say no to him. So this is a good time for snuggling up to the bridegroom. This is a good night for it too. So I enjoy Friday nights because that's when we all get together and we get to snuggle up to the Lord. So that's going to be it for me. I know it was short. And I want to wish you guys a happy holidays. And I trust that tonight, and if Jesus tarries any other time, you will continue to run to win Christ. And that tonight you would snuggle up to the Lord. Thank you, saints.